ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Don't trust, man, I don't care what kind of evidence they have. Oh, we found a transitional form. Don't lose your cool. Just wait for the rest of the evidence to come out. There are no transitional forms from a cat to a dog or whatever. Not going to happen. But it's worse than that. Churches denying the deity of Jesus, his virgin birth, his atoning work on the cross of Calvary, denying the word of God, or just putting the word of God down so people don't trust in it anymore. It contains truth. We don't really know what is really true. We'll pick it. We'll tell you what's truth. They deny his return, sin, and the list goes on and on. And John says, look, these false teachers that had infiltrated our churches, that were spreading their false doctrine, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest, that none of them were of us. Now again, John's not saying, hey, if you leave one church and go to another, you're not saved. No, that's not what he's saying. He's talking about false teachers here. And they left the church. Why? Here's the reason. The church wouldn't stand for their false teaching. And they either left on their own accord or they were kicked out, removed from the church. We have seen this over the years, and winds of doctrine are going to blow through the church, guys. And that's why God has brought in pastors, teachers. So we will not be blown away by the winds of doctrine that are blowing through the church, tossed all over the place. Too many people set their sails up and they're carried away. Not a good thing. In fact, Paul in Romans chapter 16, verses 17 and 18, tells us what we're to do if there are people within the church that are spreading false teaching. He said, now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. Look, if they're going to continue bringing in their false teaching, you remove them from the church. It's the end of the story. Because if you don't, they will continue to gain followers, and it will destroy the church because there will be division. The church has to stand up for the truths of God found in the Word of God and not allow the spirit of the Antichrist to promote their false teaching. There's no reason we should be taken unaware of these things. We don't allow this to come in. Warren Wiersbe said this. He said, it makes no difference what you believe, just as long as you are sincere. That's what a lot of people believe, right? He said, the statement expresses the personal philosophy of many people today, but it is doubtful whether most of those who make it have really thought it through. Is sincerity the magic ingredient that makes something true? If so, then you ought to be able to apply it to any area of life and not only to religion, right? So just being sincere, he's saying, you should be able to apply to every situation you face in life. And he gives us some examples. A nurse in a city hospital gives some medicine to a patient. The patient becomes violently ill. The nurse is sincere, but the medicine is wrong, and the patient almost dies. A man hears noises in the house one night and decides a burglar is at work. He gets his gun and shoots the burglar, who turns out to be his daughter. Unable to sleep, she has gotten up for a bite to eat. She ends up the victim of her father's sincerity. It takes more than sincerity to make something true. Faith in a lie will always cause serious consequences. Faith in the truth is never misplaced. It does make a difference what a man believes. If a man wants to drive from Chicago to New York, No amount of sincerity will get him there if the highway is taking him to Los Angeles. A person who is real builds his life on truth, not superstition or lies. It is impossible to live a real life by believing lies. Absolutely. Absolutely. And yet many people fall prey, and they listen to the words of men more than the word of God. You know, I've heard it so many times over the years. Oh, you got to listen to this guy. You got to read this article. You got to do this. He's got the truth. No one else has it. This guy is right. That's a red flag. That's, you know, lost in space. Danger, Will Robinson. Danger, right? It should be a red flag to all of us. When I check into these people, they're false teachers with their false doctrine. It should never be tolerated in a church. Not at all. How do we know? How do we know what's right and wrong? 1 John 2, look at verse 20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. He who is a liar, but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ, he is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. When people hear of the anointing, many times they flash back to the televangelists, those guys on TV. I have the anointing of God upon my life. There is nowhere in the Greek that it says televangelists have the anointing. It doesn't say that, does it? What does it say? You have the anointing. Isn't that interesting? He doesn't say, well, this group of people have the anointing. No, he says, you have the anointing. What is that speaking of? Well, it's speaking of the Holy Spirit who shows us the deceptions, exposes them to us as false. Why? So we don't fall prey to them. The Holy Spirit will expose these heresies with the truth of God's word. I remember several years ago, someone was reading a Christian book, and she just started reading it. And she said, I had to put it down because I just didn't feel it was right. Exactly. And I knew what book she was reading, and I knew it was wrong. And the Holy Spirit spoke to her heart and said, stop. Don't read this. That's the anointing that John is talking about. And John says, you know all things. Well, how do we know all things? Think about it. How do we know all the things that are out there? By the Word of God opened up to us by the Spirit of God. It's as simple as that. It exposes the false teachers and their false doctrines. One writer said this. He said, the presence of the Holy Spirit in every believer enables him or her to perceive the truth of the gospel and distinguish it from error. Of course, some Christians have more perception than others due to God-given ability, satanic blindness, the influence of human teachers, sin in the life, etc. Another said, when a person is saved, he receives the indwelling Holy Spirit, and he enables the believer to discern between truth and error. When John tells his young readers, you know all things, he does not mean this in an absolute sense. It is not that they have perfect knowledge, but rather that they have the capacity to recognize what is true and what is not. Thus, the youngest, simplest believer has the capacity of discernment in divine things that an unsaved philosopher would not have. Absolutely. When John speaks of knowing these things, he doesn't use the Greek word gnosko by experience. Edo is the Greek word. It means knowledge by intuition. Some things we know by intuition. The Holy Spirit, again, speaks to our heart about them. In fact, Paul in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 10 through 16 said this, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit teaches us all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. If we have this anointing, if we have the Holy Spirit showing us, along with the Word of God, what is right and what is wrong, why are so many people being led astray? Either they're not saved, or they just are listening to the words of man rather than the words of God. It's as simple as that. It's not very complicated, guys. But I think pride sometimes gets in the way. I know I'm right. I can't be wrong. And God is trying to show you that's not correct. We need to listen. We know who God is. We know who Jesus is because the Word of God has shown us, as the Spirit of God has opened up the Word to our hearts and our lives. It's a tough battle out there, but man, if you reject Jesus, you're not saved. If verse 23, if anyone denies the person and work of Jesus Christ, or as John wrote it, denies the Son, does not know God. They're not a true Christian. Wow, that's tough. Warren Wiersbe said, it's important that you stay with the truth of God's word. Absolutely. When I look at false teaching, I always find out that there has been a teacher that has brought this into that person's life through a book, through, you know, social media. Someone has brought this into their life. They didn't come up with it on their own. And when you try to share with them, hey, you know, this isn't right, this guy is way off, they get mad at you. But you got to stay with the truth of God's word. What else do you have? I'm not infallible, even though I do tell my wife that. She doesn't believe it, so don't worry. There's only one who's infallible, that's God. So we compare everything that people say, even what I say, with the word of God, period. Again, Warren Wiersbe said, the word or message Christians have heard from the beginning is all you need to keep you true to the faith. The Christian life continues just as it began, through faith in the Bible's message. A religious leader who comes along with something new, something that contradicts what Christians have heard from the beginning, is not to be trusted. Let the word abide in you and abide in Christ. Otherwise, you're going to be led astray by the spirit of Antichrist. No matter what false teachers may promise, you have the sure promise of eternal life. You need nothing more. If a false teacher were content to enjoy themselves in their own meetings, it would be bad enough. The tragedy is that they try earnestly to convert others to their anti-Christian doctrines. Exactly. That is why I have people removed, or they don't stay, because I don't want that garbage in here. Because it, again, is confusing. And it causes division. As simple as that. Verse 24 in 1 John 2. Therefore, let that abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If what you have heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. That's what Warren Wiersbe was just talking about. You see, how do we persevere during these threatening times when the spirit of Antichrist is growing? By abiding in Christ. By abiding in the truths of God found in the Word of God. Don't let go of it. This should be our most treasured possession, the Word of God. And, you know, we hear things, oh, that this is a new teaching, and man, this is it. You know, I told you back in, I think it was 1970, it was 1970, 70 reasons why the Lord's coming back in 1970. It was a little booklet for a dollar. That's what he was selling it for. Sold millions of copies. I had people in the church when I was back in Chicago calling me, Pastor Joe, you got to read this. This is unbelievable. He's predicted the day that the Lord is going to return. Like, I don't really have time for that because he's wrong. Oh, no, but he's figured it out. He's wrong. The Bible says he's wrong, so I'm not going to waste my time, but thank you very much. Well, that day went, and you know what? He wrote another book. 71 Reasons Why the Lord, or no, maybe it was 90. I don't know. It was one of those. I think it was 90. Anyway, I'm getting old. But he wrote, he added another year, 71, 91 reasons why the Lord is coming back. And after that, he just stopped because, you know, you sell a book, a million copies of the first book, maybe even a half million of the second, you're doing really good. You don't need to work anymore. But people still bought the second book. Pastor Chuck used to say, and I love saying it, if it's true, it's not new. And if it's new, it's not true. Simple as that. Paul in Galatians, chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. He said, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, then let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Exactly. And I think God is so amazing. You know, think about it. The angel Moroni gave to Joseph Smith all these different things. The Book of Mormon, right? We've got all these things, Mormonism. And Paul says, even if an angel from heaven gives you a different gospel. So I don't think I'm wrong here, but I think I can say the angel Moroni is full of baloney. I think that's pretty simple. Don't succumb to these philosophies of man. You're a bondservant of Jesus Christ. Don't be led astray. There was a missionary to the American Indians a while ago that was in Los Angeles and with an Indian friend who was a new Christian. And they walked down the street and they passed a man on a corner who was preaching with the Bible in his hand. And the missionary knew that this man represented a cult. But the Indian saw only a Bible and he stopped to listen to the sermon. Well, he said, I hope my friend doesn't get confused. The missionary was thinking to himself and he was praying. In a few minutes, the Indian turned away from the meeting and joined his missionary friend. What did you think of the preacher? The missionary asked. All the time he was talking, exclaimed the Indian, something in my heart kept saying, liar, liar. Exactly, that was the Holy Spirit. And we need to listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling us. That's the anointing of God that I was talking about. Well, verse 25. And this is the promise that he has promised to us, eternal life. Praise God, right? Eternal life. When God's truth lives in us, that which we've heard from the beginning, God lives in us, and we have that promise of eternal life. And yet, a large portion of Christians in America don't believe in absolute truth any longer. They don't believe the Bible is absolute truth. We're told this, past generations have looked to a source outside themselves, namely God and the Bible, for determining morality and truth. But a new study from the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University shows that some 58% of Americans surveyed no longer believe that and instead say it's up to the individual to decide what is true or moral. Wow. The American Worldview Inventory 2020 concluded that belief in absolute moral truth rooted in God's word is rapidly eroding among all American adults, whether churched or unchurched, within every political segment and within every age group. Shockingly, that does include American Christians, those who have historically pointed to the Bible as the source of absolute truth and the guide to how we should live our lives. The study found that evangelicals, defined as those believing the Bible to be true, reliable word of God, amazingly, are almost as likely to reject absolute moral truth, 46%, as to accept it, 48%. And only 43% of those surveyed who identified as born-again Christians still embrace absolute truth. Wow. You wonder why the church is not having an impact in America anymore? Because we don't believe in the God of the Bible. We don't believe that the Bible is God's word to us. Wow. Now look at verse 26. These things I've written to you concerning those who try to deceive you, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and it is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. So as in John's day, there will always be those who will try and deceive you. But again, we have the Holy Spirit. We have this anointing of God that's going to teach us the things we need to grow by. Now, here's where some people run on a tangent and take this to unbiblical conclusions. And I say context, context, context. John says you do not need that anyone teach you. So we don't need pastors. We don't need teachers. We just teach ourselves. Is that what John is saying? That's not what he's saying. Why in the world would John have written this letter if Christians didn't need anyone to teach them? He's writing this letter to the church, right? So obviously he's teaching them. So that wouldn't make sense. What's the context of this section of 1 John? Exposing false teachers who want you to embrace their false teaching. And we can do that because we have the anointing of God, the Word of God opened up by the Spirit of God. So what John is emphasizing here is that we have within us as Christians the only teacher that really matters, the Holy Spirit. You read the letters in the New Testament. We need pastors. Paul in Ephesians talked about that. He gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ, till we come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. That is what the pastor's responsibility is to be. Teaching the Word of God, building the people up in the faith, helping them to see their gifts so they can use those gifts within the body of Christ. But again, you can't leave it all in the hands of the teachers or the pastors. You have to do the studying on your own as well. You have to search the scriptures to see if what is being said is true or not. If you want to know and understand the Bible, you don't have to look any further than the Spirit of God, the author who wrote it, will show you what it's all about. Well, let's finish up. Look at verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. So we have no need to be ashamed when Jesus comes. Why? Because we're abiding in him. We're his children. We're not going to stand before him in our own righteousness, which are like filthy rags, but the righteousness of Christ that has been imputed into our lives by faith. I like this because knowing that the Lord is coming back helps us to live lives that would honor him. You know, I shared this before when I was growing up and, you know, I was the oldest, so I'd watch my other two brothers. My youngest brother wasn't born yet. And I kind of knew when my parents were coming back. You know, they kind of gave you a time frame. And, you know, you get that 2-minute warning. I always think of Dr. Seuss and the Cat in the Hat, you know. House is just in shambles. Oh no, we got to fix it up. And that's because I knew my parents were coming home. Hey, the Lord's coming back. And I don't want to be doing something that would dishonor him when he returns. I want to be doing things that would honor him. My mom has a picture of my dad when he graduated high school. And, you know, it's one of those older pictures because, you know, he was around a long time ago. If you look at that picture and you looked at me, when I was in high school, you go, that's you. No, not at all. There's a family resemblance. I think that's what John is talking about here. As children of God, we should have a resemblance to our Heavenly Father because we're born of him. And that means our actions, our nature should resemble his. We're not going to be perfect. And, you know, it could get real discouraging sometimes. But we live and walk in the light as he is in the light. We shine forth Jesus as we abide in him. And that's John's perspective. Don't love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father isn't in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father but of the world. And here's the thing we have to remember. The world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Hey, the Lord is coming back. We should be the most excited people on this planet. And we should be ready and looking for his glorious appearing and live accordingly. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much we've covered so much territory here in these verses here in 1 John chapter 2. But Lord, help us to remember them. Help us to apply them to our lives. Our desire is to grow in you. And Lord, we want to follow you all the days of our life. We want to walk in the light as you're in the light. And we want to shine Jesus to the people of this world. We're living in dark times, and that light is shining even brighter because of the dark days we're living in. And may we never try to cover it or dim it, but just continue to shine. We thank you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.